Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we explore Bittersweet by Susan Cain, a deeply insightful book that delves into the complex tapestry of human emotions where joy and pain intermingle. Released in 2022, Bittersweet offers a unique perspective on embracing the melancholic side of life that blends sorrow with beauty, arguing that understanding and accepting these emotions can lead to greater creativity, connection, and a more profound appreciation of life's fleeting moments. Susan Cain, who became a prominent voice with her viral TED Talk on the power of introverts, which has been viewed over 40 million times, continues her exploration of subtle psychological landscapes. She is also widely known for her best-selling book, Quiet: The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. Bittersweet is particularly suited for those who feel a stir of emotion from sad melodies and poignant films, individuals navigating the aftermath of loss and seeking renewal, or anyone who is moved by the transient, delicate aspects of life. Cain's narrative encourages us to view vulnerability as a source of strength, longing as a means of guidance, and melancholy as a pathway to fulfillment. Join us as we traverse the sacred terrain of the bittersweet, where every sorrow carves the space for an emerging joy. This exploration is a must for those intrigued by the beauty in life's inherent contrasts and the deeper truths veiled within our complex emotions. Bittersweet: How Sorrow and Longing Make Us Whole. Introduction. Embrace the dance between joy and sorrow for a richer life experience. Imagine a place free from heartache, where every tear is replaced with a laugh and every pain fades into comfort. This utopia seems idyllic, right? A constant state of bliss without the shadows of sadness or the chill of loss. But, pause for a moment. Could this really be the recipe for true happiness, or might it instead dilute life's vibrancy, leaving us with a placid, albeit shallow, sense of joy? It turns out our sorrows are not just obstacles to endure, but essential contrasts that amplify our joys. They charge our happiest moments with meaning and infuse depth into our connections with others. Without dark, we wouldn't know light. Without tasting bitterness, sweet just isn't as sweet. This dialogue between joy and sorrow is what forms the essence of our human experience. Learning to accept, and perhaps more courageously, embrace this bittersweet symphony of life might not just add to our emotional repertoire, but could fundamentally enrich how we live. In this digest of the profound concepts detailed in the book Bittersweet, we'll delve into the intrinsic value of our darker, more melancholic moments and how they spell out lessons about resilience, relationships, and personal growth that relentless positivity tends to overshadow. We'll explore the natural human inclination toward compassion and its triggers, our surprising affection for melancholic melodies and the catharsis they offer, the pitfalls of excessive positivity, and why embracing a spectrum of emotions leads to a more fulfilling life. Join us as we unravel these threads, shedding light on why your favorite songs might be the ones that tug at your heartstrings, and how our greatest trials often precede profound personal triumphs. Through this exploration, you might find that the richest lives are not those devoid of pain, but those that have learned to dance beautifully with both the light and shadow. Part 1. Beauty and Pain, an Inseparable Dance of Emotions. Picture Sarajevo, 1992, amidst the horrors of siege, an unlikely backdrop for the profound interplay of beauty and tragedy. Amid the violence, citizens queue at a local bakery, yearning for a semblance of normalcy through fresh bread, a mundane yet vital chore in their war-stricken lives. Tragically, a mortar shell strikes, leaving 22 dead. The following day, amidst the ruins, Vedran Smilovic, known in calmer times as a cellist for the Sarajevo Opera, dons formal attire and plays Albinoni's haunting adagio in G minor. His commitment, one day, for each life vanquished, playing as shells continue to fall around him. This poignant scene isn't merely about defiance or grief, it's an embodiment of the bittersweet, the stirring alchemy of pain mingled with beauty that heightens each emotion's poignancy. This intermingling isn't confined to war zones or dramatic displays of resilience. It's woven into the fabric of everyday life and celebrated across various cultures and eras. Consider Japan's cherry blossom season, a time when people gather under the fleeting, fragrant sakura. The beauty of these blossoms is underscored by their transient nature, inspired by the Japanese concept of mono no aware, an awareness of the impermanence of things, which evokes a gentle, poignant sadness. This cultural tradition reveals how deeply embedded the appreciation of the bittersweet is in human consciousness. Finding beauty in fleeting moments, knowing they can't last. Music, too, acts as a vessel for this complex blend of emotions. It's telling that while cheerful tunes have their appeal, many find themselves repeatedly drawn to the more melancholic or bittersweet tracks, playing them far more often than their upbeat counterparts. Such music often resonates deeper, evoking a rich tapestry of feelings that more accurately reflects the human experience. This predisposition towards the bittersweet might be more than cultural, it could be biological. Humans possess what might be called a compassion instinct, an innate drive that not only inclines us toward caring for others in their suffering, but also deeply connects us to our own emotions. This is not merely an emotional response, but a survival mechanism, one that has helped humans to thrive by fostering community and mutual support through empathy. Unfortunately, Western culture often undervalues these more somber, reflective experiences, favoring a relentless positivity that can sometimes feel dismissive of the depth and range of human emotion. Mainstream approaches to psychology and self-help emphasize moving past grief and trauma rather than fully experiencing and learning from these states. It's perhaps time we re-embrace the full spectrum of our emotional heritage by recognizing the profound truth that joy often dwells within sorrow and that each moment of beauty might carry a pang of sadness. We allow ourselves a fuller, richer human experience. In this way, embracing the bittersweet not only enhances our capacity for joy, but also deepens our connections to one another, weaving us together in the shared complexity of our lives. Part 2, Engaging with Our Pain Shapes Our Essence. Delve into the lives of people like Maya Angelou, who faced extreme personal tragedies, including rape and the violent loss of a close one, which rendered her mute to everyone except her brother for years. Or Buckminster Fuller, an inventor and philosopher who nearly succumbed to the depths of despair following his young daughter's death. These stories are not just chronicles of pain, they are testimonies to human resilience and transformation. It's tempting to say that such individuals channel their suffering into their work, thus finding a reason for their ordeals. However, that would simplify the complex and often illogical nature of trauma. Not all painful experiences come with a built-in silver lining. They are frequently irrational, unfair, and absolutely devastating. Yet, they are also a universal aspect of the human experience, inseparable from joy and love. The theory of the bittersweet teaches us valuable lessons. Pain coexists with happiness, loss side by side with love, and despair intertwined with inspiration. If we turn away from the agony, we risk also dimming the joys and loves of life. A life devoid of pain could indeed appear simpler, but would it not be a diluted, less vivid experience? Research from the University of Toronto suggests that embracing negative emotions can lead to reduced stress and improved overall well-being, even amidst adverse life events. This acceptance allows pain to guide us in understanding what truly matters and help others in meaningful ways, embodying what Carl Jung described as the wounded healer. The aftermath of the September 11th attacks saw a surge in Americans signing up for roles that dealt directly with healing and helping: firefighters, teachers, and health workers. This illustrates how collective grief can catalyze a commitment to service and care, a poignant example of how deeply communal our responses to pain can be. This concept is ingrained in practices such as the Buddhist loving-kindness meditation, or metta, which transforms pain into acts of love. Participants repeat mantras that extend warm wishes first to themselves and gradually to others, including those who have hurt them. This practice encapsulates the journey from individual pain to universal compassion. An illustrative Buddhist tale furthers this idea. A grieving mother seeks a mustard seed from a home untouched by loss to revive her child, as directed by Buddha. Unable to find such a home, she learns that suffering is pervasive, binding all humanity. Thus, the narrative isn't merely about enduring pain, but engaging with it constructively. It's about the transformational potential of our responses to life's inevitable hardships. How we confront our pain doesn't just define our experiences, it defines who we are and who we can become, opening a path to deeper empathy and more meaningful connections. Part 3: Unmasking the Illusion of Perpetual Victory. Americans often wear a cultural badge of relentless positivity, frequently smiling more than any other nation. However, this facade masks deeper, widespread issues, as evidenced by significant numbers grappling with anxiety and depression. Understanding the roots of this cultural phenomenon leads us back to America's colonial past, particularly the influence of Calvinist beliefs, which dictated a stark dichotomy between heavenly winners and doomed losers. This framework has evolved into a modern context where success is celebrated excessively and failure is hidden away as if it were a contagious disease. This relentless pursuit of winning, of portraying oneself always on the upward trajectory, is deeply ingrained. However, it ignores a fundamental human truth: failure and loss are universal. By pretending they don't exist, we only amplify the distress they cause. This is what psychologists term as amplification. The more we try to suppress certain thoughts or feelings, the more dominant they become. Consider the enticing chocolate cake scenario. Ignoring it doesn't make your craving any less, it intensifies it. Similarly, by plastering smiles over our griefs and stresses, we're not eradicating these emotions, we're merely displacing them, often causing outbursts in other areas of our lives. A perfect professional facade can sometimes mask a tumultuous personal side, evident in increased familial tensions, substance abuse, or other self-destructive behaviors. How then do we confront these suppressed emotions effectively? James Pennebaker's journey offers a compelling blueprint. Struggling with personal failures and the resultant dysfunctional behaviors, Pennebaker decided to write down his feelings, an act that initially was meant to simply vent, but one that ultimately transformed his life. This simple practice of expressive writing led him to clearer communication with his spouse, lifting his depression and inspiring a series of studies that confirmed the therapeutic power of putting pen to paper. His research demonstrated that individuals who engaged in expressive writing felt happier, faced less stress, and even reported reduced health problems over time. This finding is particularly poignant in a society that prides winning above all else, discouraging open admissions of failure or despair. However, Pennebaker's work illustrates that acknowledging and expressing these failures can lead to profound personal growth and recovery. The cultural obsession with only showcasing success needs reevaluation. True resilience is not about concealing our wounds. It's about understanding them, healing them, and perhaps allowing them to become our greatest lessons. In a culture fixated on winning, admitting vulnerability might seem a defeat, but in truth, it is where genuine growth begins. By embracing our failures and losses, not as detriments but as integral parts of our human experience, we stand to gain so much more: heightened self-awareness, better health, and deeper, more authentic relations. These are not victories in spite of our hardships, but because of them. Part 4. Learning to coexist with mortality to enrich life. Imagine ending each day with a ritual as stark as the one practiced by Tibetan monks, who remind themselves of life's fragility by turning over a water glass each night, a symbol of the uncertainty of waking the next morning. For many in the West, where death is frequently hidden away and sanitized, this practice might seem somewhat troubling. Yet, in cultures around the world, acknowledging death is integral, not just to mourning, but to living fully. Historical practices around death in the West, till about the 1930s, involved intimate rituals that made people more attuned and comfortable with the concept of mortality. Individuals in the Victorian era, for example, engaged in elaborated mourning behaviors, which allowed them to process grief openly and communally. As modern medicine progressed, death became more clinical and removed, shifting from homes to hospital settings, thus diluting these rich communal traditions of processing death and grief. This distancing from death may leave us feeling less equipped to deal with loss when it does invariably touch our lives. It raises the question: if by diminishing death and mourning, are we inadvertently diminishing life and our experience of it? Dr. Laura Carstensen, a psychology expert at Stanford University, has explored this relationship deeply. Her research suggests that an acute awareness of life's finiteness can actually magnify our capacity for happiness. Elderly individuals often report higher levels of life satisfaction and happiness, not despite their closeness to death, but perhaps because of it. They tend to cherish each moment and interaction more deeply, focusing on nurturing relationships they have rather than seeking new ones. This heightened sense of life's temporary nature seems to instill a positivity bias, a tendency to remember and prioritize positive experiences and interactions over negative ones. This contrasts starkly with the negativity bias often seen in younger people, who, feeling immortal, prioritize expansion, novelty, and often dwell more on negative interactions. So how can we better integrate the presence of death into our lives, to enhance, not diminish, our living? It might start with shifting our narrative around grief and loss. Instead of encouraging those who are grieving to simply move on or achieve closure, what if we acknowledge their ability to carry grief as a testament to their strength and capacity for deep love? Understanding that the interplay of bitterness and sweetness adds depth and richness to life can also be transformative. Franz Kafka's story with the lost doll beautifully illustrates this. Informing a young girl through imaginative letters that her beloved doll is merely off on an adventure, he introduced her gently to the concept of loss being integral to life. He later gave her a new doll with a hidden message, suggesting that what we love always returns, albeit in different forms. This story not only comforted the girl, but also seeded a profound lifelong awareness about the transformative nature of love and loss. To truly live fully, embracing life's ephemeral nature and learning to live alongside death might just be the most significant journey we undertake. By embracing and understanding mortality, we can not only alleviate the fear surrounding it, but find within it a poignant reminder to live more mindfully and lovingly. Final summary. In Western societies, there's a prevalent trend to minimize pain, gloss over grief, and deny the inevitability of death. This cultural tendency leads to a diluted experience of life, where true joy becomes inaccessible because the depth of real emotion is seldom explored. Through the stories and examples you've encountered, we've seen how different individuals and cultures integrate sorrow and joy, treating them not as opposites, but as complementary aspects of the human experience. This blend, this bittersweet essence, enriches our lives, allowing us to embrace life's complexities fully. One practical step toward this integration is to cultivate compassion towards oneself. By acknowledging and accepting the full range of our emotions, including those that are painful or uncomfortable, we can begin to treat ourselves with the same kindness and understanding we would offer a close friend. Additionally, adopting practices like the Buddhist approach of loving-kindness meditation can further help us connect with and accept both the joys and sorrows of life. As we learn to appreciate the bittersweet qualities within ourselves, we inevitably extend that understanding and acceptance to others, thereby enriching our collective human experience. Embracing the bittersweet isn't just about making peace with the harsh realities of life. It's about opening ourselves to a more profound, more resonant appreciation of everything life has to offer. Through this acceptance, we not only become more fully engaged with the present, but also more deeply connected to the world around us. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.